Good morning. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for joining us for DevOps for Every Team. I'm Sam Guckenheimer. My colleague Ed Blankenship will be joining me in a few minutes. If you are planning to tweet, you're encouraged, and there are the details you need on the title slide before they go away. How'd you like the keynote? I loved seeing Haiwen and Emma and the bracelet for Parkinson's. My mother had Parkinson's for 10 years, struggled with it long before we had wearables, and I totally wish that had been available for her then. Satya talked about opportunity and responsibility. And I think that was a great way of framing the conversation for us. Also talked, of course, everyone talked about Cloud City and getting to cloud and becoming cloud scale. We've been taking Visual Studio Team Services from an idea 7 years ago to globally distributed SaaS. I've never had as much fun as I've had in the last 3 years as we've really been running SaaS at scale. You know, we announced general availability in 2014. We put extensions out with the modern extensibility model and then created a marketplace in 2015, and the marketplace grows double digits every month since then. Last November, we announced migration from TFS to VSTS in the cloud, TFS on-prem, and what we've seen is something like a 500% growth in the enterprise users on VSTS since then. It's really been wonderful to watch that level of adoption. So thank you all, and thanks to many of you in this room. I see some familiar faces, and I'm glad to meet some people whom I only knew by mail for the first time. I don't have time to tell you all of our customer stories. You saw in the keynote some videos from Alaska Airlines and from Jet. But Satya did talk about opportunity and responsibility. And I happen to have built a greenhouse. I happen to drive electric. You can call me a Seattle stereotype. I do think there is no planet B. So I want to highlight a couple customers who are doing something for this planet A in a pretty cool way. Sam George showed you Sandvik's approach to preventive maintenance in the factory. Rolls-Royce does a similar thing for its engine maintenance. So telemetry is collected from the engines after the flight, and and predictive maintenance is run, and there's data fed directly back to the customer, the airline of those engines. They used VSTS to get a 20x improvement in time to go from code to customer, to go from many weeks to a few hours. At a bigger scale, more like with more things embedded, there's a company you may not know, Itron, that has 8,000 utilities as its customers, people who deliver water and gas and electricity. And for them, going digital has meant going from a world of analog metering and measurement to digital, always available metering and measurement. For them too, it meant taking VSTS meant going from a 18 to 24 month product delivery cycle to 3 weeks of new updates with every sprint. So this has been, this has enabled them to provide smart cities. These are great stories of people who are doing real things that really help this planet. And these 20x improvements are really great flagships for all of us. Now, we've talked a lot about DevOps as the full life cycle. We've talked about the need to do agile planning, the need to have build and test, and modern code management, and continuous integration, continuous testing, and these practices that allow you to take things in a pipeline to release with continuous delivery, and to deploy to the cloud, to deploy on-prem, to deploy to all the cloud models, and then to monitor so that you can learn from the running application. You saw lots of application insights for monitoring in the demo this morning. Now, all of that is made possible by having a great continuous delivery pipeline. So we are going to be talking here this morning about continuous delivery for every team, every app, and every platform. We're going to help you. How many of you are using Azure today? Great. How many? Now, keep your hands up, okay? If you do not have continuous delivery to your app, keep your hands up. Okay, this demo's for you. I'd like to invite Ed up on stage. We're gonna start from the beginning and say, what if you don't have anything? How do you get from 0 to 30, or if you're from a country that sensibly counts in metric, from 0 to 50, to start a continuous delivery pipeline on Azure? So we'll start at the Azure portal.
Well, first.
Oh, we won't, you.
Yeah.
We'll start at GitHub, it looks like.
Yes.
You like this GitHub thing, huh?
Well, I only mention this is because, of course, the audience would assume that everything works with Visual Studio Team Services. But I'm going to show a completely different workflow here to see how we can get going. So I have a demo app here that's a public repo. It's a Node.js-based web app up in GitHub. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have an entire pipeline in a couple of minutes. So let's get our.
Okay,
I know. Let's get a stopwatch going.
Okay, got it.
We're here in the Azure portal here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a brand new Azure app service.
Okay.
So
keep him honest.
Yep, here
we go.
Make
sure he's doing a new one.
So this is a Azure web app. And it's a vessel for taking any kind of application. So let's see.
I saw Melinda in the audience. Why don't you name it after her?
Melinda, okay. All right. There was Melinda.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to create that. We're going to come over here and watch the notifications for just a second. This should be pretty quick.
So we're now looking at the app portal in Azure, right?
That's right.
And you just said, give me a new Azure web app.
That's right.
And with Azure App Services.
And it's ready to go.
Okay, and it says there's a deployment. Okay.
All right. And so today what we're announcing is that we have a new experience for actually creating a continuous delivery pipeline from scratch.
All right.
So that's right here. And it's going to be super easy to get this up and going. So the time, there we go. So you'll see deploy with confidence. And there's just one simple button here. And let's go tell it a couple of things. So like I said, of course, this works with our Git repos inside of Visual Studio Team Services.
Yeah, but you were in GitHub. OK,
that's
so
right.
You're going to connect directly to GitHub.
That's right.
OK.
It's going to pull back all of the repositories that I have access to.
OK. So how does this know you're credentials in GitHub?
Ah, that's a good point. I've practiced this demo a few times, and so it asked me to log in.
Okay, got it. Okay. Okay, so it sees what you got in GitHub. Yep, good.
There we go. So that's good. So let's press OK there, and then let's go configure this. Now, of course, we would work with ASP.NET and ASP.NET Core, but we also support other technologies like Node.js and Python, and very soon we'll have PHP support too. So this is brand new as well.
Right, okay, so it's Node. Okay.
It's a Node app. We have a gulp file in our repo. But you know, I could have sped this up by even already having a Visual Studio Team Services account.
How many of you do not have a VSTS account? Ah, wrong audience. Okay.
That's so, okay though.
Imagine you didn't.
Yep, so we'll create one for Melinda. She needs one.
All right.
All right, and then all I have to do is press OK, and let's come over here. And it is going and setting up an entire continuous delivery pipeline for me.
From the Azure portal?
From the Azure portal.
So it's creating Melinda's VSTS account.
That's right.
Huh.
Okay. And it's done, so the VSTS account is created. So Melinda, you have one now.
Okay, and can we look at that website that you created, the web app that you created?
Good point. So let's go over here. And we'll go just open this up, and you'll see it's just the default Azure app service.
Right, okay, so this is what you get when you create something empty, and you get to have this getting started video and stuff like
that. That's right.
Okay, so that's what it was before. Now, when it says configuring continuous delivery, is that's using this VSTS account?
That's right, so it's gonna go create a continuous integration build and a continuous delivery pipeline, all put together, attached back up to that Azure app service that we had.
All right.
And it's pulling from that GitHub repo. So anytime we make changes to that repo, it will also trigger that, which makes it an amazing CI and CD service for GitHub as well.
Right. Okay. So says it finished.
Look, we're done.
Let's look at what it created.
Okay, so it created both our build definition and our release definition, and let's go take a look at it.
And it says the build was triggered.
The build is triggered, so yes, okay. We're actually gonna watch it live. Okay. I'm assuming it's still going.
Okay.
Let's see here. Yep, so you can see we have a build in progress.
Okay. Now this looks a lot like VSTS. This is VSTS,
This
right?
is absolutely Visual Studio Team Services.
Okay,
and you
great.
Can even see that it's my first project, so it created that from scratch.
Okay, it's Melinda's first project.
Oh, well, it's Melinda's first project. Here we go. There we go. All right, so the build is started.
Build's running, and I see these tasks like npm install and so forth. That's happening because you said Node on the Azure portal?
That's right. So we have various different templates now, and the Azure portal knows how to pull from the templates we have for the various technologies.
Okay.
Of course, we can, you know, this works out of the box, but you can go ahead and customize it as much as you want. We'll show that a little bit later.
Okay, and this is, you didn't do anything to set up a build agent, right? This is...
Oh, yeah. Good point. It's using our cloud-hosted build service.
Right.
And so we have tons of build machines, Windows machines, Linux machines. Our friends over at Mac and Cloud have Mac machines for hosted build. So I didn't actually have to do anything at all.
Okay, so it's a hosted pipeline. It's a VSTS account no one's ever touched before because it was just created.
Oh, it's done.
And the build is done. Okay, so what did it do?
Oh, look. Okay. So we have a release going, so why don't we go
and
watch the release.
And the release is queued, my goodness, all right.
All right.
So
this one is actually pretty easy. So it created a production environment and a connection to Azure, and all you do is it's one task to deploy to the app service, and you see it's already connected up our Azure subscription and knows which Azure app it is. Well, let's go watch the log here.
That's the pipeline, okay, very nice.
Oh, and I didn't have to set up a deployment agent. It uses the same service, the cloud service for that too.
Right, and it's all taken care of more than me.
That's right.
All right, well.
All right, how's the stopwatch going? Anyone have the time?
I think we're at about 6.5 minutes.
Yep, let's see how quickly it'll be.
So this is live deployment, as you guys can see.
Yeah.
It's going there, and
we're just about finished here. I know this stuff. It's basically pushing all those files.
Right. Okay.
And of course, Node has tons of files. Any Node app has.
Yeah, and they're all pulled in because you're doing the npm and
of course
by the npm task. All right.
All right.
So this is happening in VSTS because of the thing you did in the Azure portal.
That's right.
And do I need to watch it here in VSTS, or is this just giving us a behind-the-curtain look?
Right. I just showed this just to make sure everyone thought that it was real. So we could be
what
as
do you
soon
mean
as
it is real.
It is very real.
Okay.
But what you can do is as soon as this gets done, we actually can also see the progress in here. So once it finishes up, we'll see traceability and auditing events. Oh, it's done. So we can refresh that here, and you'll see deployed successfully to production.
Just for the
record. Oh, wow, 7.5.
Okay, so deployed successfully to production, build one, release one. Okay, so can we see what that looks like?
Yes.
Okay, let's refresh your page in Chrome.
I got to do the force refresh because of caching and Chrome, but
got
it's good.
Yeah. Of course, it's. I understand that.
There we go.
So that's the website.
That is the website, and I made a little modification
from GitHub
here.
Using the Azure portal and all those defaults.
Wow.
Useful?
A whole CD pipeline in 7 minutes.
Okay, so. Melinda, we look forward to what you're going to do with this Node app. She's waving in acknowledgement. All right. So what did we just show you? And what did you just get? So there are two announcements here that we just breezed through. The Azure Web App Continuous Delivery. It's now built in, continuous delivery on Azure Web Apps from the Azure portal. You just select continuous delivery and everything gets set up for you. And that works, of course, for ASP.NET and .NET Core. However, it also works for Node and Python, and very soon PHP, and those are there in preview. And as you saw, those were just there from the Azure portal. Okay, that's nice. And that's a cool, starting demo. But not everything is as simple as, those getting started examples. And indeed, on Azure now, there's a bunch of good guidance around reference architectures for different patterns on the web. People do things with Windows and Linux and NIS. They do stuff on-prem. They do stuff hybrid. They containerize. There's a lot more intricacy as you grow up. So.
There we go. There you go, that one. All right.
Oops. All right. So let's take the next step. Let's go from 30 to 60, or if you're from a country that sensibly counts, from 50 to 100 in metric. And look at what continuous delivery for a more complete modern app looks like. We have, in the past, shown you something that's bike sharing 360. It's an urban bike rental thing where you can pick up a bike at one location, do an electronic payment from your credit card or phone, and turn at another location, kind of thing that a modern city absolutely should have. Now I see Ed, you're still in love with GitHub.
I don't know about that, but we do have our demo code out on the Microsoft tenant in GitHub, of course.
Great,
of course, GitHub guys are great.
Yeah,
but what we really want to do is, I actually like our Git experiences in Visual Studio Team Services much better. And so what we're going to do is, I have an empty repository here in Visual Studio Team Services, and we have a new option available for you, which is import. And import allows you to import from any Git repository that exists. And then how many people use Team Foundation Server today? And if you happen to use Team Foundation version control, we have many teams who have asked us for an easier path from migrating from TFVC to Git. So we also have that available too. So this becomes super easy here. So let me go grab this URL here. It's the clone URL. And then I'll say import. And then it'll take just a few seconds, and it'll grab it's basically cloning the repository and bring it inside of Visual Studio Team Services. So pretty awesome there.
Okay,
there
so
it is.
Now,
hey,
so you're in VSTS. You had an empty repo you imported from GitHub that was too fast to count.
There it is.
Go back for a minute. Let me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that's the master on bike sharing 360 import. Okay, got it.
There you go.
Okay. Now, in a modern workflow, you're of course working in small batches, and you're working in a continuous flow. I see you've got a Kanban board for your team. Looks like you've got a user story assigned to you.
I do.
As a bike rider, I want to see 5 of my previous rides. So that's an update on what the service returns. If you want to work just on that thing,
yeah,
in code, how do you match the code to that work item?
It's a really good question. So what we follow is our topic branch model as we do changes on our team. And so it's really easy to use a temporary branch and create that straight from the user story or from the bug. And so I'm going to say new branch here. I'll pick my repo, and let's see, what should we name it? Reduce results, and I usually like to put the work item ID so I can remember it later. So I'm going to create that branch.
So you just created a branch from the work item?
That's right. And so it branched off of master and now is tied to that work item as well.
And it looks like at the top of the screen that's the branch you're looking at.
There you go. Right
okay,
there.
Okay, great. So that's on the service.
But it's up on the remote.
Okay, and you're working on a Mac, and I think Scott Hanselman already showed Visual Studio on the Mac, and he showed Vim, so that means you need to use Sublime, right?
Oh, of course. No, I'm using Vim.
I thought I was the wrong part. Okay.
And of course, I'm going to have to reboot my machine now because, you know, no one can ever exit out of Vim, so.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm just kidding. We're at a Microsoft conference, so we're going to use Visual Studio Code. All right.
Did you try Visual Studio Code yet? All right.
All right.
If you
awesome.
Haven't, this is for you.
Visual Studio Code actually has a new extension that we really love, which is actually the Visual Studio Team Services extension. And once you have that, Visual Studio Code transforms itself. And if you see down here at the bottom, we can get information, so it knows about any pull requests, the repo that we're using.
So you're in the bike sharing 360 repo, no
builds.
Pull requests.
I've got that one work item assigned to me.
Yeah, and you had a branch on the service.
That's
but
right.
I don't think you have it locally.
No, I need to sync and pull, so
okay.
I'm gonna do that. But now that we've done that, I can, here, let's just, we're gonna make this window a bit bigger. Oh, there you go. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to look for that branch on the origin.
Oh, results 386.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
So now let's go and let's go make that change. So let's see. You know, I've done this a few times, but here is our Node.js controller. And gosh, this is so easy for me to do.
Well, it looks like you're using the old demo thing of having written the code ahead of time. So I'm not sure I'll give you credit for this one.
Of course. But now I can commit my change. So we're going to change the result size. And I usually like to put the pound mention syntax for the work item ID that we're using. Oh, actually, it's 386, isn't it? So I was about to pull someone else's code in there. And then now you can see that we have a change on our local repository that we need to push up to the remote.
Right. Makes sense?
There we go.
So you're pushing again, or you're pushing for the first time, you're syncing again. And what do we see on the service?
All right, let's go take a look. All right, so I'm going to refresh this. Wow, Visual Studio Team Services.
You updated this branch, reduce results 386, and there's a link there to create a pull request.
It's pretty awesome. I think we should create a pull request.
I'll accept that.
All right. Now, this makes it really easy. You know, it noticed that we already have the work item here because we created the branch and linked it. But Sam, I'm gonna need your help. I need my team and then some help from you to go and review this code.
Yeah, that's a good idea for a SaaS service.
All right.
Okay, so.
So in the meantime, we're gonna wait on Sam to do his review. You'll see we've got a build running, and you up in the upper northwest corner, you can see we have different policies. So we need someone to approve this. We have to have a work item linked. We have to make sure that all of our conversations and comments are resolved. And then we also have a build, and so that build needs to go through the verification process and succeed for me to be able to do this. So.
Just give me a minute to look at your files.
And, you know, I can also add other reviewers down here. So Abel's usually pretty good as a reviewer. So we'll add him. He'll get an email notification to let him know what's happening. But so now.
So I am going to.
Thank you. Oh, that's odd. So. What just happened is Sam did his review, but you can see live updates coming in. So as he's making comments and suggestions in here, all those comments start to show up right in the screen. And so you can comment in line with your code. You can, next time let's use a feature flag. See, it came right there. So I can go back and say, Sam, why don't we, Sam, there we go. Why don't we implement launch darkly for feature flags next week?
And I'm
you
using,
okay with that?
Yeah, I'm cool.
All right, good.
By the way, I'm using a Surface here. Ed's using a Mac. Doesn't matter. Of course, it works for all.
There we go.
And we can all.
We're good to go. I think we can complete this.
Yep.
So let's go complete it. And I'll zoom in here for you to see a little set of new things that we just introduced.
Yeah, so I see this has these options for deleting after merging.
Yep.
And squashing the changes.
That's
now,
right.
I'm not sure I get that, but complete the merge and let's look at what that
sounds
does
good. Okay, it finished up. And so let me refresh this now, which is our history of this repo. And now, look at that.
Interesting. So you guys see this Git graph over here on the
it's pretty straight.
The left-hand side? It looks like a straight line. Going down, we can see some other things. But I'm a little confused, Ed. So
yep.
We had a topic branch that you were working on. You were working in a separate branch. There's nothing on the graph.
That's right. We deleted that temporary branch, and we merged it into the trunk. So now we have not only trunk-based development, but if you look over here on the side, we have that pull request linked up to this merge as well. So we can go back and look at all the comments, all the changes that happened, all the conversations. You know.
This is what XP called a single code base.
That's right.
But you still have isolation and branches for your work.
You can take.
And you have the auditability of the history, and you haven't created any merge debt.
There you go. You can take advantage of any of those practices with this.
Anyone like this?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Get history graphs and squash merge with pull request workflow.
It's actually pretty cool. You can start to take a look. But we can also get to the build that's run for us. So you can see we've got this same build. It's a bit more complex, so I should show you what that looks like. Oh, it's done now. So let's go take a look.
That happened because you did the
I merged into master.
And that meant there was a commit, and then the CI was triggered. Very nice.
Of course.
Okay, so it looks like on this one, we have some test results. They all passed, I see.
Yep,
and we have code coverage from those test results.
That's right. Work items, associated changes.
User story 386 you were working on, yep. And there were changes you did. Excellent.
There you go.
Okay, so this was Node.
That's right.
So you just clicked on White Source Bolt, it looks like, and this is telling me about security. So this is inventorying the packages that were brought over from Node?
All the NPM dependencies, and you know how Node works, like everything has like tons of other dependencies.
Yeah, you never know exactly what's getting pulled in.
Exactly.
And it says the versions you got of those 107 packages are secure,
that's green. Right.
Okay.
And here's another
interesting
thing.
How long did that take?
Yeah, it only took 91 seconds, the whole build, including that analysis.
The whole build, including the security analysis, happened in a minute and a half.
There you go.
Okay. Now, what did you need to do to set up White Source Bolt?
Good question. So, in our new build experience, you kind of saw this in the keynote today, but I grabbed the White Source extension from the marketplace, and then I came over here to add task, and then I just searched for it and grabbed the White Source Bolt and just added the task. And there wasn't any other configuration I needed to do.
So everything on the right, you just left as a default.
There you go. And it's kind of nice because Visual Studio Enterprise subscribers actually get access to White Source as part of their subscription. So anyone can add this in their pipelines if they
want. That's great. So if you're VSE, you have usage rights. If you don't, you get in trial mode. Right?
That's right.
Nice. Okay. I also see that you've got this NPM publish to VSTS package management. Does that mean you're taking your build artifacts as output and putting them into a package store?
I am, and I'm not publishing them up to the public NPM site. We're actually storing our private packages internally inside of Visual Studio Team Services to use as part of our build process, our release processes, but also for shared libraries internally. So it's a really awesome way to do that. And we just published this package. You can see we just updated that one. So that's the one from that build.
So this package management store you're using is your source of truth.
That's right.
For what components can be deployed. That's nice.
Now I've got a bit of some news here. So we support NPM, but we also support NuGet, and today we're happy to announce that we also have Maven support inside of our package management server. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you, yeah.
So NuGet for .NET, NPM for Node, Maven for Java.
Yeah.
These are the ones I hear about. That's great.
Exactly.
Okay.
Tons of teams use those. So now that I have a build and we publish the package, what do you think I need to do next?
I think we were talking about continuous delivery.
Of course.
Okay? This potentially shippable increment stuff, that was last decade.
That's right. We have to actually have to ship it.
Right.
So I've got a completed build, completed release that we've done this. We can see which build artifacts and what versions are contributing to this release.
Yep.
We can see what environments are here, including when they were deployed out and times and test results. We also have that work item, so any work items that are part of the commit changes that you're making, those flow all the way through the pipeline to here. The other thing that we have is we constantly get asked about, if we're going to deploy all the way to production, we've got variables and secrets that we need to keep along the way. And so we have the ability to store variables and secrets at the pipeline level, but we can also configure them and override them at the environment level. So of course,
I was asked just yesterday about this.
Exactly.
Right.
And of course, our connection strings are going to be different between environments, or they should be.
Right.
That's okay, though.
Excellent.
So we take care of those as well.
Yes, good.
All right. So I really have some awesome news to tell you today. We have a brand new release pipeline visualization and editing experience. Yeah.
All
I have
right.
a crazy pipeline here.
So let me see if I understand this.
Sure.
It looks like you've got separate queues for database, API layer, and web layer.
Yep.
And those are going from dev to staging. And then when all three of those are done, there's a load test.
That's right.
And then when the load test completes, they get deployed to the three layers in production.
That's right. And we can model all of that within the same pipeline for demo purposes and on one screen.
Yeah, it looks like we've also got the intelligent edge stuff with this mobile thing at the
bottom.
That's
right. So we can publish to the app stores, to beta stores. I wouldn't necessarily do this. I did this so that we can put it up on one screen for the demo today.
Yeah, you probably have separate.
That's right. Separate
release pipelines in practice, but
that's right.
It's there. It's available.
And so you can put different triggers. You can put different approvers on each of these stages. Lots of things that you can do in here. But what's awesome is we took that really great new build editing experience, and we also brought it into editing each of the stages inside of the release process too. So all the same tasks, all the same agents, all of that work across the entire pipeline system, no matter where you're at.
Great. Nice editor. Now, yeah. I see some other new things here too. Looks like we have this grouping of phases for that parallelism we saw.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have different groups here. You can run different set of tasks on different queues of agents. So I might have a hosted Linux pool. I might have a hosted Windows pool. I might have a pool that's running on premises. I can have multiple phases in here, and they will run in parallel.
Right. And they can go to different targets.
They can go to different targets.
Okay. Now, what about scalability?
That's a really good question. So before today, we've had a push-based deployment system. And so a lot of people have asked us to have a pull-based system that's very similar to other deployment technologies that are out there. So we're happy to announce today that we now have deployment groups where you can add all of your machines from your environments in here and then be able to deploy to them on a pull-based basis.
So there's an agent on the target.
There's an agent on the target.
That you can have as many copies of that VM, as many instances as you want.
That's right.
And they pull the right stuff onto the VM, yeah?
That's right. And so then you can add, instead of an agent phase, you can add a deployment group phase, and then you can choose that that group.
Yep.
And then you can configure other things like how many to take out of rotation at any given time. But the tasks you put in this group will go out and run all of those on the web servers, on the database servers, all in parallel for you. So
that's very cool. Now, one of the uses of that of pull-based deployment has been for things like infrastructure as code.
That's right. Actually, I think we have a new task.
Chef.
Yes.
Huh. Anyone use Chef?
And what's
all right?
Look at that, Sam.
So Chef, I think, is announcing today.
That's right.
That they have a new extension that takes advantage of deployment groups so that you can do infrastructure as code with Chef recipes and cookbooks on these deployment groups and do it at totally elastic scale across VMs or indeed VM scale sets. So that's a great example of a partner from our marketplace taking advantage of this extensibility.
Yeah. And so we have agent-based deployments, pool-based deployments, and a completely new paradigm. But one thing that people usually ask us is, how much is this going to cost? And so we're happy to announce today that you can have unlimited numbers of agents in each of your pipelines without any additional costs. So you don't even have to spend any money on that.
So that means you pay for the pipeline.
You pay for the pipeline.
You can have
any number of agents.
Okay, and it can be my own or it can be hosted, right?
That's right.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. That's a pretty good look at modern patterns.
It's a pretty gnarly pipeline, too.
That's a gnarly pipeline. Okay. So you don't need to be gnarly.
No. Nope.
We'll look at that. So, hello.
Let's switch you over to...
Right.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So let's go over the announcements we just snuck in by you. There were five. We showed you the Git pull request experience with live notifications. Those can also be in line with your code so that they're directly actionable on the code. We showed you the Git history graph that lets you see what has happened to all of your changes, and it preserves the traceability of all of the changes and all of the comments and all of the approvals and policies, even when you squash branches, so that you don't have merge debt. We have in package management now Maven support, so if you're using Java, you're basically ready to go. We have the new build and release editor and the corresponding workflow, so you can visualize your release and set up complex releases with parallelism and dependencies where C waits for A and B. And we show you deployment groups using agent-based deployment, pull-based deployment, and you don't have to pay for the agents.
Pretty awesome.
That's a summary of what we just did with bike sharing 360. Okay, so that was a 30 to 60, or if your metric 50 to 100 look. Let's talk about what happens next. We use this in Microsoft. Indeed, Visual Studio Team Services is the basis of the One Engineering System in Microsoft, where as of the end of last month, about 68,000 engineers using this. It's across all the major divisions. I'll be hosting a panel, open mic Q&A, Friday morning, where you can hear engineering leaders answer your questions, folks from Windows and Devices, Skype, Bing, Azure, and we'll be able to really dive into the practice in Microsoft. Let's show you a little bit of that now. Let's go 60 to 120, or if your metric 100 to 200, and talk about running SaaS at scale in Microsoft.
And it's a pretty awesome thing. So usually when I tell people we use Visual Studio Team Services to build and deploy Visual Studio Team Services, their mind blows. It's like a chicken and egg problem. But we do it.
Yeah, so this looks like a dashboard I recognize from one of the feature crews.
I picked a random one, yep.
Yeah, feature crew, scrum team, same thing basically. So we have, this is what they look at, you know, Scrum in a team, most people get that these days. It does look like they have a nice cumulative flow over the last six sprints where work in process has been nice and lean. Looks like they're also experimenting with the new cycle time measurements that we put in a widget that's available in preview.
I'm sure this team loves the transparency we're showing today.
Yeah. So, I mean... We didn't warn these guys that we'd be showing their stuff, so...
That's okay. We'll keep it amongst us.
Don't hassle them about their bugs over Twitter, please. Okay? This is the real instance. It's live.
This is live.
That's how a team works. But of course, everyone says, fine, we get this Scrum stuff. We know how to do Scrum for seven people. That's old, last decade's news. How do we scale? So what we introduced in VSTS, in TFS, is a way of looking across teams with what we call delivery plans. So the way you read a delivery plan like this is there's a calendar running across the screen. See March, April. You see a...
I was trying to quickly hide so they couldn't see what we were doing.
Line
next.
For you don't need to hide. A line for today, okay, and then you have the same lining up along the future. Our model, which we recommend, is that all the sprints are the same. They line up as for us as three Monday to Friday weeks. But if you had different length sprints, they'd still line up under the same calendar. And we're looking here at the feature level. You know, that's where a pointy-haired manager like me looks.
And you know, events are important to us, so we are able to add different build markers along the way, too.
Yeah.
So like today's is build, actually. Yeah, today is build. So there you go.
Okay.
We were working towards that goal today.
We'd see the today line in any event. Build is something that we added. So this is a high-level view, but it doesn't need to be just a high-level view. We can drill down, so the engineering manager might want to say, what's all the work here across my related crews? And you can see we have user stories and bugs and customer support tasks that are there. And if we drill down, we get to all of them.
They're doing a lot of work.
Yeah, this is real live data, so don't.
Pretty freaking awesome.
Don't try to figure out anything about individual performers.
And Sam and I, this is a very interesting problem because we have about 65 feature teams, and keeping up with what all of the 65 feature teams are doing is a pretty challenging task. So now delivery plans help us do that.
Yeah, it is a great progress. So delivery plans now generally available.
And with that, Sam, how much do they cost?
They don't cost anything. They're just with your subscription.
They're included with your VSTS subscription.
Useful?
Anyone? Oh my gosh.
Okay, good. Let's, now while we're on our instance
of
VSTS, and we're talking about how we work as a SaaS company, let's take a look at our pull request flow, shall we?
We actually, man, we're running. Oh, the last one has failed. So that's a really interesting thing.
Okay,
we didn't plan that.
Stop right here. Okay, I just want you to appreciate.
Oh, wow.
This screen full is a set of pull request builds in progress right now. All right?
That's right.
Let's look at one. Let's go down and look at one that was completed, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. This one's live.
Instead
so
of one running.
I'm going to go to one that was about three minutes ago.
Completed 3 minutes ago. Okay,
wow.
So this is, you know, this is real data. Okay, looks like it ran 51,829 tests.
That's right.
And they passed. And the whole build took 23 minutes. So we've tuned those tests to run in about 10 minutes. Under 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So the entire.
And what do we see with this? We see, of course, the changes.
That's right.
And if there had been work items, we would see the associated work items. What happens when you click in the changes?
We will actually...
Or do you want to pick a...
Actually, hold on just a second. Let me find one. Oh, this is always fun. Live machine. There we go. Here we go. So we have.
Okay. So this one had a bug associated with it.
That's right.
You see the real discussion on the work item, and you see the code history on the work item.
I wonder if this is a bad bug.
And that takes us back to the pull requests, and it looks like this is one of those in progress.
That's right.
So that build is now running, and those 50,000 tests need to pass, and then it needs every code change needs an approver because we do SOC compliance and so forth. And then it has a series of tests that need to run afterwards.
Pretty
those
awesome.
Tests will run once this has gone through CI.
And this bug was just literally fixed a you know, within the last hour. So it'll get pushed up to all of our environments in production within the next day.
Yeah, click build in progress. Let's just see what's
going on. Several different builds going on here.
So. Okay, yeah, there are many builds going on.
There you
go. This build is running now, okay? And this is our flow, and we don't really have time to do a lot in this session, but you saw, 20 or so of these pull request builds running right now.
All the time.
You'd see, if we looked at the CI build, you'd see them, you'd see many, many per hour. And they then go through another set of tests in production-like environments, another 40,000 or so tests, and then go to delivery across rings globally.
There you go.
So
awesome.
That's a little hint of working at scale as a SaaS provider. Interesting to anyone?
Okay. Yeah, if you ever want to come up to Redmond, we usually give talks about all sorts of things about running our. We have an amazingly large 5+ million user base of a huge Azure app, and so we talk about this quite a bit. Feel free
to
grab us.
Okay. So I mean, we will. You know, we're happy to show you how we work.
Yeah.
All right. So there were two announcements there. There's one announcement we snuck in, which was delivery plans with your VSTS subscription, no extra cost. And I'm happy to announce also today that VSTS is now supporting encryption at rest for all the new work item, source code, and build artifacts you bring in. And the old ones that are there are being encrypted as well. So for those of you in an enterprise situation worried about encryption at rest, we got you covered.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay. Now, a bunch of hands went up before when we asked about who's using TFS. And I regularly get the question, well, are you getting rid of TFS? What's going on? We're not getting rid of TFS. We develop cloud first. We are deploying continuously to the service. And then we make quarterly updates to TFS. So everything you see comes down to TFS as a quarterly update. Of course, you install that at your pace in your data center.
There you go.
We showed you the power of the marketplace and ecosystem in Bike Sharing 360, and we use a bunch of these things internally. So in our demo, we showed you White Source Bolt for open source security, and we showed you Chef explicitly. On that build, there was also Redgate ReadyRoll for managing the database deployments in the CI/CD pipeline, and Redgate is here and also has SQL clone to get production data available to you for test in your test sequence, so you can get test data. And we did a teaser about Launch Darkly for feature flags there in the exhibit area downstairs in the hub as well. So we encourage you to go to them. A few others I'd call out are another one doing open source security is Black Duck here. AquaSec is great for container security and container workflow. Checkmarks will, and Veracode will scan the code you write, not just the code you reuse. SmartBear has some great things for testing you can put in the pipeline and for doing configuration testing. In addition to Xamarin Test Cloud, there's a couple partners, Sauce and Perfecto here. I'd also you know, for those of you doing .NET wanting to do security, I'd also recommend you look at Preemptive. So they're all downstairs in the hub.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to have time to run back through the announcements. You can just take a picture, post it on Twitter. This is the stuff we talked about this morning. Okay, and we have blogs on this that
they're going.
Should be out by the end of the day that you can all get more details from. So what do we ask next? Can you do next? There's a DevOps area down in the hub. Come by the booths. If you haven't done a pipeline in Azure, you can start one, or you can show us your pipeline. And Ed has his final demo.
There we go.
Because he did one. He won a t-shirt. You can win a t-shirt too. Okay. You can, of course, create your VSTS account at and if you can, you can start at the short link aka.msvsts. And we have guides and webinars posted on the Spring Into DevOps page. There are several related sessions. These things were on your chairs. There's one correction of time for the mobile center, which is about mobile DevOps. That's going to be Thursday.
Right next door.
Yes, next room. Martin Woodward will be here at 3:30, and we'll go deeper on the Azure CI/CD, things we didn't show you, like VM scale sets and container workflows and what have you. And if you're interested in monitoring an app insight, Shiv has a session Friday at 2. So, please, my panel, Friday morning, open mic. All right. So, please fill out your eval. Thank you very much for coming. We look forward to seeing you in the hub, and we look forward to seeing you online.
Go eat lunch.
Time for lunch. Thank you.
Thank you.